Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is love, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 13. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One Valentine's Day a few years ago, I did not realize that it was, in fact, Valentine's Day. I should tell you all you need to know about my love life at that time in my life. And I walked in, unfortunately, to a very busy Walmart, filled with people scurrying around for last-second Valentine gifts, and it was probably 80% men, trying to look for that special gift for that special someone. And I remember near the front of the store, there was a display, and in big letters had these words, "Love is," and it was surrounded by all kinds of hearts at the bottom of the display. Do you want to guess what was being sold on this large display? Under the words, "Love is," frosted heart-shaped cookies and bouquets of flowers. I remember thinking, that's going to be in a sermon someday. And that's apparently what Walmart thinks love is, frosted cookies and bouquets of flowers. I'll give them some credit. Maybe they're just trying to imply that that's part of what love is, cookies and flowers. Now, obviously, and hopefully, we don't turn to corporate America or to Hallmark to define for us what love is. But in case you weren't aware of it, in case the first time you heard that Valentine's Day is in fact Tuesday, it is coming up soon, a day of love, a day in which that word is talked about and thrown about in many different ways all day long. It's advertised everywhere, it's promoted, but it's never properly defined. It's important then for us to turn to the one who is the definition of love itself, God. As we read in our text for this morning, our sermon, scripture reading for this morning, God is love. So this morning we will be taking a look at some of the things God tells us about love, about what it is, and also what love is not. We pray that our God, who is love, would send us his Holy Spirit to bless our study. One of the most thought-provoking books I've read in recent years is a book that's called Don't Waste Your Life. It's a book by a Christian author and pastor named John Piper. In one of the early chapters of his book, Piper points to one of the great misconceptions about love that we experience, especially in our culture today. He titles that particular section of his book, does being loved mean being made much of? And this is what he says. He says, for most people, to be loved is to be made much of. Almost everything in our Western culture serves this distortion of love. We're taught in a thousand ways that love means increasing someone's self-esteem. Love is helping someone feel good about themselves. Love is giving someone a mirror and helping them to like what they see. This is not what the Bible means by the love of God. Love is doing what is best for someone. But making self the object of our highest affections is not best for us. In fact, it is a lethal distraction. We were made to see and savor God, and savoring Him to be supremely satisfied, and thus spread in all the world the worth of His presence. Not to show people the all-satisfying God is not to love them. To make them feel good about themselves when they were made to feel good about seeing God is like taking someone to the Alps and locking them in a room full of mirrors. Did you catch what Pastor Piper mentioned love was not, and what love is? Love is not making much of someone else and making them feel good about themselves. Love is instead doing what is best for someone, showing them the all-satisfying God and His love for them. If we are not showing them that kind of love, then we are showing them actually the opposite of love. Isn't that part of what our text defines as what love is when Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? And also part of what love is not. Look again at what Paul says in verse 5. He says, love is not self-seeking. So love, true love, always seeks what is best for others, putting others instead before self. The Apostle Paul, who is the writer of this text by inspiration, also was inspired to write the book of Philippians, where he says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In fact, doesn't the rest of the definition of love in our text support this definition that love is selfless, that it is not, in fact, self-seeking? Listen again to those words from verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what God tells us love is. That definition obviously goes a little deeper than frosted cookies and floral bouquets. It goes a little deeper than a Hallmark card and a heart-shaped box of chocolates. But the question is, when we read that definition of love, that we should ask ourselves, whether we're a husband, a wife, whether we're single or dating, or just a little child, is we should ask ourselves, how have we measured up to this definition of love that God gives us in His Word? Has anyone here perfectly displayed what God says love is? Perfectly, even just for one day in your life. Would you be willing to say that you've perfectly displayed this type of love for even 1 hour in your life? Have we always been concerned with and done what is best for others? Have we always been patient and kind, not envious, not boastful, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, not keeping a record of wrongs, not delighting in evil, but rejoicing with the truth? Have we always been protecting, always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, and never failing? I have not loved like this. I've not loved perfectly like that. I'm willing to bet that I have not done that perfectly for even one single hour of my life. How about you? Do we all have to admit the same, that we've not done that perfectly? Well, let me bring you some good news this morning. You know someone who has. I know someone who has. We all do. We know the one who has kept that standard of God's love perfectly, not just for an hour or for a day, but for a lifetime. That someone, of course, is Jesus. He is the ultimate definition of what love is. In fact, I'd like you to do something with me. Look at the text that we're considering today. I want you to look again at verses 4 through 8. As I read through these portions of the text, I'm going to insert the name Jesus for the word love. And let's see if it actually works. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Does that definition of love work? It does, doesn't it? Jesus' name works in that definition of love, and he's the only name that works. But I do have more good news for you this morning. Because Jesus lived that perfect life for us, because he loved perfectly during his lifetime, God now credits that perfect life of love and that perfect love to you and to me. Think about what that means. That when he looks at us, he does not see the many times we failed to live up to this standard of love, but instead he sees the times Jesus succeeded and sees it filled to perfection. He sees Jesus covering us, and so God, in his eyes, puts our names into that list. When he sees us, he can see that Ida is patient, Don is kind, Dan does not envy, Angela does not boast, she's not proud, she's not rude, Scott is not self-seeking, he's not easily angered, he keeps no record of wrongs. Wayne does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Terry always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Nick never fails. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? You almost can't believe it. That can't be true. You can't do that. You can't put my name in there because I've failed at those times. But Jesus kept that perfectly for us. When God looks at you and me, he sees Jesus. Thank God that Jesus is love. Thank God that love is Jesus. Let's read once again another definition for love that God gives us, this time from our scripture reading for this morning. 1 John 4, verse 10 says this, "This is love." So he's going to define love here. He says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus showed us his love for us, and he showed us that he is the definition of God's love by doing what was truly best for us. Even though it caused him incredible pain, even caused him the agony of hell itself, caused him to be separated from his Father when he died on the cross for our sins. He didn't stay dead, however. He rose to life again the third day, to continue to show his love for us by doing what's truly best for us every day of our lives, for every single one of us. Everything. Every good thing and everything that we see as bad that God turns out for our good, everything was redeemed and purchased by the bloody death of Jesus Christ for us and continues to be worked in our lives through Christ. So finally, we come this morning to that part where we ask the question, now what? Now what? What are we going to do with this love? Now that we've defined it, now that we've been reminded what true love actually is, and that's been given to us in Jesus, what do? The answer very plainly and simply is that we go out and we give it away. We live it. Let's go back to one more quote from Pastor Piper, this time from one page later on in the book, under the section that says, loving people means pointing them to the all-satisfying God. He says this, now back to what it means to be loved. The idea has been almost totally distorted. Love has to do with showing a dying soul the life-giving beauty of the glory of God, especially His grace, which you might know means undeserved love. We show God's glory in 100 practical ways that include care about food and clothes and shelter and health. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Every good work should be a revelation of the glory of God. Not to aim to show God is not to love, because God is what we need most deeply. And to have all else without Him is to perish in the end. The Bible says that you can give away all that you have and deliver your body to be burned and have not love, as we read in our text for this morning. If you don't point people to God for everlasting joy, you don't love. You waste your life. Let's not waste our lives. Let's not even waste this Valentine's Day by not truly showing love to others, by not truly showing them what love is in Jesus. God has shown this great love to you and to me. Let's show it and give it to others today, this Valentine's Day, and always. As John wrote in our scripture reading, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.